This is The Curious Gamer. I'm Devin Pulaski, and this is the Switch, my new favorite toy. Now, few companies have contributed as much to the acts of play than Nintendo. But did you know that before the company was synonymous with Mario, Pikachu, and the rest of its iconic franchises, Nintendo made playing cards? And that it's done so for over a century? We'll get to that. But this week, the Switch is the company's latest big endeavor. It's a $300 tablet that has two little controllers attached to the sides. At any time, you can dock the console and instantly switch from playing on the tablet to playing on your TV. You can even unhook the controllers and house them in this traditional controller shell, or use them as separate mini controllers so friends and family can play. It's a great idea that most people can easily understand, and it's even launching with Zelda: Breath of the Wild, a game many are saying could be one of the greatest in Zelda's already successful 30-year history. So, given all this, you might think the Switch will be a surefire hit, but it's actually a massive risk with a lot of gambles. But before that, let's take a moment to remember that Nintendo was founded off of risks like this. In 1889, a Japanese entrepreneur in Kyoto wanted to sell something a little different in his new shop. This man, Fusahiro Yamauchi, chose playing cards as his exciting but risky product. See, in the late 16th century, Japan had an influx of imported goods from new European visitors. Japan, fearing the spread of outside cultures and religion, namely Christianity, banned many foreign products like playing cards. So, to replace their new favorite card games, the Japanese developed Hanafuda, their own take on Western playing cards that shares a similar design. Now, even though the ban on playing cards was lifted in 1885, 4 years before the founding of his company, Yamauchi knew that they were still exciting and controversial enough to bet his company on. And while this isn't proven, legend has it that the company is the Japanese kanji characters of nin, ten, and do that roughly translates to leave luck to heaven. Now, whether or not this is true, taking risks is in Nintendo's lifeblood, and you can spot it at every major point in their history. For example, in the 1980s, when the entire video game industry was considered dead, they took a risk by having a young designer make a game about a monkey throwing barrels at a plumber. Back then, most arcade games were science fiction themed, and everyone thought this silly new Donkey Kong game would flop. Instead, it helped relaunch the entire industry and make Nintendo a household name. Successes like these are numerous in Nintendo's storied legacy, but the company's bets don't always pay off, and their last effort, the Wii U, proves that, a system that many people didn't even know existed, or what it even was. Compare that to its predecessor, the Wii, and you'll see that history will remember one over the other. Now, with the Switch, Nintendo faces even more risks. It's going against established competitor consoles that have more power, and with better support from game companies that Nintendo has slowly lost over the years. And while it has the new Zelda, there's not much else to play at launch. And there's still so many questions about the Switch's basic functions that have left fans confused. But the company is betting big that its main draw is enough to get people to buy, and that the other shortcomings can be improved over time with updates and new games. Personally, I'm willing to take their bet. Sure, I'm guilty of extreme nostalgia and loyalty to Nintendo, but their spirit of risk-taking is what keeps me coming back to them. See, Nintendo's competitors like Sony and Microsoft, well, they often release new machines that do what the old ones do, just with more horsepower. Or they follow existing trends like VR, but at unrealistic price points that most consumers can't commit to. But Nintendo follows their own path. They give us new ways to play that almost anyone from all backgrounds in gaming can get behind. See, going from tablet to TV isn't just convenient. It changes the dynamics of where and how we play. I won't have to ask friends and family members to check out this great new game. I can bring the game to them. I can prop the machine up on its built-in kickstand. I can split the controller so we can play together. I can introduce people to weird, fun, and accessible games like 1-2 Switch that get people out of their comfort zones and have pure, simple fun. Ever since the industry's inception, most video game companies look to each other for what to do next. But for over a century, Nintendo has gambled on the unknown. Sometimes this captures our entire culture, and their products become household names: the NES, the Game Boy, the Wii. but sometimes their ideas are too ahead of their time or executed in a way that doesn't capture the public's attention or interest. The Switch is Nintendo's latest bet on how today's world wants to play, and I can't wait to see how it unfolds. But whether it's another big win for them or not, I know Nintendo will continue to do what they always have and leave luck to heaven. This episode of The Curious Gamer was produced by me, Devin Pulaski. Learn more and keep up with the show at thecuriousgamer.org. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or as a podcast through your favorite podcasting app. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.